My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, as you've probably been hearing, the government is introducing five different rates of pension payment, which means that people who work until they're 70 will get an increased pension of €315, and those who want to retire at 66 will stay on the current pension rate of €253. So you wonder, is this finally a fix for our pensions problem? In a moment, I'll be talking to Jerry Moriarty, CEO of the Irish Association of Pension Funds, and Louise Amin of Woodview HRM. They specialise in mediation and HR support. But first, News Talk reporter Aoife Kearns asked some people at the National Ploughing Championships what they think of the increase in the pension for those who choose to work longer.
So you heard the news about the pensions, and if you work until 70 now, you'll get an extra €60 or so. What do you think of that?
I think it's terrible, really. Like, I mean, people shouldn't have to work 6 to 70 just to get an extra €6 in their pension. I mean, people have worked hard long enough and they're entitled to retire when they want to, you know, retire at a proper age so they can enjoy their retirement and be able to go on holidays and, you know, live a good life because they worked hard long enough.
Do you think there's people out there that want to work to 70?
I'm sure, like, you'll always get, you know, the odd people are, you know, who are maybe who love to work and, you know, love money and will say, yeah, we'll do it, because some people feel, well, you know, if you don't work, you retire, you know, you get ill health, where to keep working, you have more of a chance of staying alive.
What do you think? Work until 70, you get an extra €60. Would you be in favour of it?
I'd love it. It'd be a great thing to do. Are you ready to do it?
And is it good for people to have the choice to work to 70, do you think?
I think it is. Yeah. I'd like to do it down, you know.
Would you like the few €60 extra now yourself?
Oh, God, I grab it by the hand. Why wouldn't you? Everybody likes money.
Well, I think it's great that you get a choice now, that if you do want to work on 70, that there is a reward at the end of it. So I'd be in favour of it, yeah. Mm.
But you mentioned the choice. Is it important to have that choice?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a lot of people who are 66 would like to retire and feel that they want to retire, but there are more and more of us that I'd work well into my 70, 75. I'm only 57 now, but I don't intend finishing work in a couple of years' time. So, yeah.
Do you think there are certain jobs out there that you just couldn't work until that age? Like maybe nursing or any manual labour?
It all depends on your own level of fitness. You know, yeah, sure, some people might not be able to carry on, and it's great that they can retire at 66, but I think that the choice of working until 70 and beyond, I'd welcome it anyway.
I think it's great. There's a lot of people in my business, which is building, who are not able. Their bones and their bodies are not able to work hard every other day. I can so far, but I'd welcome it to work until 70 if I can, and beyond. So, and a couple of bob extra, why not?
Yeah, so there are obviously certain careers that it might be that bit harder, and you said yourself, construction probably is one of those jobs.
Yes, absolutely. It's very taxing on us. We try our best to keep our bits and pieces going, but it's not easy. Hard on backs and necks and joints. It's very heavy labour, you know, so yeah, hopefully we'll stay going.
Sounds good to me. I'm fit and able. I'd be delighted with the extra money. It's good for me.
And are you working away yourself now?
I am, yes. Not not locked in completely, but doing work every day.
And do you think it's kind of maybe reflective of the way people are now, when people are fitter and healthier at an older age?
Definitely fitter and more able-bodied, yeah, definitely. And I think they're better doing some little bit of work. I think it's good for everybody, for themselves especially.
Aoife Kearns talking to people at the National Ploughing Championships. Now, the deal is if you leave work at 66, you get the current rate of €253 a week. If, on the other hand, you keep going until you're 67, you get €266. If you keep going until you're 68, you get €281. If you remain in work until you're 69, you get €297. And then if you keep going until you're 70, you get €315. Now, Gerry Moriarty, CEO of the Irish Association of Pension Funds, has been listening to that, as has Louisa Meehan of Woodview HRM. First of all, Gerry, what do you make of this proposal, which looks like it's going to get the nod from Cabinet?
It does, yeah, and obviously you haven't seen all of the detail around it, but I think it's trying to bring a bit of closure to an issue which has been hanging around, if you like, for a few years. State pension age was due to rise to 67 last year. That got put off, and then it was due to rise to 68 in 2028. We've had the report of the Pensions Commission, which suggested a more gradual increase. I think this is just another way of doing it. And I think there is some sort of, if you like, political acceptance that just forcing people to work longer is not going to be acceptable. I think that became very clear. Whereas I think having an element more choice and more flexibility is definitely to be welcomed.
Now, they say that what this will be funded by is an increase in PRSI, which will be introduced over a series of budgets. But to what extent is it self-funding? Because people who continue to work continue to pay tax, if not PRSI, they continue to pay tax. Also, the duration of their pension will now be shorter. Presumably, they, you know, the work doesn't kill them. They will die at the same age they were going to die at, but they're taking the pension in for a shorter period. I mean, the actuaries must have been number crunching here.
Yeah, and I would guess that it's been worked out in a way that's kind of broadly neutral. So those people who do go at 70 over their expected lifetime would get the same pretty much as somebody who would have gone at 66. But you are right, those people will have been paying tax in the meantime. Obviously, they'll have been earning salary as well, so they'll have an opportunity to maybe plan more for their retirement. And as I think you heard in the report, there are actually a lot of people who do really want to keep working, but sometimes feel they've been denied that choice by being effectively forced to retire when they hit a certain age.
Now, what about those who have to retire by virtue of the kind of work they've been doing? I'm thinking, for example, of professions like physiotherapy. It's highly physical work, and nursing as well, lifting patients in beds, and particularly those working with geriatric patients, which involves maybe lifting every day, the use of hoists and so on. They may feel that at 65 or 66, they've done their life's work.
Yeah, and I think we do need some flexibility around those people as well. And there is some reference in some of the articles I've seen on this that there will be a system in place for those who do need to retire earlier for those sort of health reasons or just not being able to work longer. And you got to remember as well, not everybody starts in the workforce at the same time. Some people go, say, straight from secondary school, might have, by the time they get to age 66, could have been working already for close to 50 years. So I do think you need that flexibility. And, you know, one of the things we do need to try and get away from is this idea that retirement happens in a certain day and you just completely stop working then. Having more flexibility about how people phase out of the workforce, maybe getting into working part-time, maybe moving from, so if it's possible to move from something that's less manual for the last few years. We need that kind of flexibility built into the system as well.
In an era of full employment, that might be possible. In an era of low employment, and, you know, it's a cyclical thing, there's no doubt we have virtually full employment at the moment. That will not last forever, as sure as eggs are eggs. You know, different rules might have to apply.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of the issues for employers as well, and one of the difficulties for employers is employers do want to naturally turn over their workforce as well. So, you know, when you've got people that are working longer, that probably restricts your ability to hire younger people. And again, that's something that employers are going to have to deal with and work out how they kind of manage that within their own workforces.
Yeah. Now, the question of those who are permitted to retire young, and the Defence Force's pensions are not that great, as we've heard many, many times, but the Garda Síochána are allowed to retire early. Are they going to have a look at those kind of professions as well?
I think that would make sense. Again, you know, you're back to people are living longer, people are, you know, healthier for longer. So the idea that there's no work you can do beyond a certain age doesn't make sense anymore. And like I said earlier, if you can have that sort of flexibility where people move to maybe a different type of work, and that might be one way of bridging that gap between older and younger people by getting, you know, using your experienced people to train in younger people and take them away from the type of physical work that wouldn't have been possible.
Okay, Jerry, look, thank you for that contribution. Louisa Meehan, who's listening to this from a HR point of view. Louisa, good morning.
Good morning.
So, do you welcome this? Do you think it's a positive step that it might get over the rows that are ongoing about the pension age, the retirement age, or do you see pitfalls?
Look, I welcome it and I see pitfalls. I think it's a positive step in the right direction. And there are some people, as we heard from the National Ploughing Championships, there are some people who feel capable of working longer, who want to work longer, who are enjoying what they're doing, who are adding benefit to their organisation. And that's a real positive thing. They bring with them a wealth of experience and knowledge that only time can bring. But that doesn't suit everybody. And there are situations for organisations where maybe somebody has reached the end of their journey in that organization and they need to move on, or they are no longer capable of working in the way that they previously were. But how do you navigate that conversation? So I think there's a wider conversation here in relation to how do we ensure people who choose to stay and work do so in a way that supports what they want, but also supports what the organization needs. Mm. And it was mentioned there about, you know, younger people coming up. If we have people staying until 70, you know, that's an additional 5 years that reduces promotional opportunities for people coming behind them. So that has a knock-on impact throughout the life cycle for all of us in the workplace. So it is positive, but it does have some areas that would be quite concerning.
I mean, what about people who claim they're fit to do a job? And, you know, if you're, say, talking about working machinery in a factory setting or in an office setting, you're talking about newer technology. They claim they're capable of keeping up with the workflow. Is there a case for actually having, you know, like the driving test at a certain age, you've got to have an eye test and all that kind of thing? In other words, competence.
Absolutely. And this is something that, you know, I would do this with employers already, where I have people who want to work beyond the age of sort of 65, which would be the typical retirement age in a lot of organizations. And what we will typically say is, well, yes, you can do that, but you need to have an occupational health review on an annual basis. So it's going along to an occupational health specialist, which is a consultant. And they do a sort of like an MOT, I suppose. They're going in and just checking physical competence and making sure that the work isn't going to cause harm to the individual, because that's the last thing we want, is that somebody's in the workplace and something that's asked of them causes them an injury, be that physical or otherwise, or that they cause an injury to somebody else. So I think having those checks and balances in place is really important to protect the individual who is working a little bit later into life, but also to protect their colleagues in the organization.
Now, what do you do if, you know, you want someone to go, you expected them to go at 65 and they simply don't go? What is the law at the moment in terms of when people must retire? Does it depend on the T's and C's that you signed up to when you first joined the company?
So it does, but it's a little confusing because this debate has been going on in relation to retirement age for so long, and the legislation around it is not as clear perhaps as we would like, certainly as I would like as a HR professional. So yes, the technical answer is if in your terms and conditions of employment it states that your retirement age is 65, technically your employer can insist that you retire. However, we have seen an increase in discrimination cases and age discrimination cases where people wish to stay on longer. So my advice to employers is that you need to have a justifiable reason for that ground. So if, for example, you were working in the defence services, there is a justifiable reason why somebody perhaps has to retire at a certain age, depending on the work that they're doing, because of the requirements of that job, and you can stand over that. If, on the other hand, somebody is working in a purely administrative role, then that might be a more difficult case to argue. So I think what it comes back to here is that for both the employer and the employee, it needs to be looked at on a more individual basis. And we need to allow employers the opportunity to say where they can stand over it, where they can say, well, actually, this work doesn't suit somebody of a particular age or a particular ability. So we will look at alternatives, or we may have to enforce a mandatory retirement age. And also for an employee to have some flexibility with regards to that too. So it isn't a one size fits all situation, and that makes regulation and legislation complicated.
I mean, there's an issue which I've come across over the years when, say, redundancy programs are launched. And all the good people who see another life beyond the horizon, another professional working life, they take the package and run. And the people who are useless don't.
Well, the people who perhaps, let's not call them useless, who maybe want more security at that particular time. But yeah, we see this with voluntary redundancy programs or voluntary early retirement programs as well, where somebody's sitting there going, well, actually, I can take this package and I can go off into the sunset and I can take up another career. Some people go and change what they're doing entirely, or they have an alternative route, but they have the confidence, the ability, the skills and the support structure around them to do that. And I think that's one thing that's really important. You know, when we're looking at retirement, the support structure that's around an individual in their personal life impacts on their choices in relation to what they can do at work as well, particularly at that juncture in their life. So for sure, I think that is a complication for employers.
Yeah. Do you think, therefore, that there might be within permanent employment subcontracts? For example, in the civil service, they'd say, OK, you can work till you're 70, but, you know, you must give up your job as principal private secretary to the minister or whatever, or gensec of a department at 65 and do something else, you know, making way for the fresh blood along the ladder.
So currently the legislation doesn't allow for that, because that would be direct age discrimination. So you can't say to somebody if they've been doing the job.
No, but let me just draw from the religious life. For example, in I think in the Passionists, and I'm sure in the Franciscans as well, you can become prior for a certain period of time. And then when you've done your 5 years or whatever, you go back to being an ordinary monk. And that's fine.
I'm not totally up to speed on the monks, but there are situations. If we look, for example, at the masters in maternity hospitals, they go into situ, I think it's for 7 years, and then so they become the CEO, basically. Then they step back down to being a consultant again. So there are organisations that would have that there already. And this, again, comes back to the flexibility and choice. And I think you're right, where employees want to stay on. Oftentimes, they don't necessarily want that level of responsibility. They want to stay there in a mentoring capacity, passing on their knowledge and skills. They want to contribute effectively, but they may not necessarily want sleepless nights worrying about, you know, budgets and whatnot. So having the ability to have people move around in an organization, sideways steps or even backward steps, moving to part-time work, all of these things need to be on the table. But we need to create a situation where an employer feels safe to have those open conversations with an employee and isn't concerned about necessarily, you know, being taken to the WRC for age discrimination. And we're not there yet. The legislation isn't supporting that just yet.
This is a headline announcement today. It's expected to be in place by 2024, but there'll be a lot of T's to be crossed and I's to be dotted, I imagine, before any of this becomes law. Thank you very much, Louisa. Louisa Meehan of Woodview HRM, who specialise in mediation and HR.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Or support.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa HS for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.